I'm Mika Paikala, obviously, and I'm going to be co-presenting with Rob Nevin. He's with a company called You Are Able, which is out of Canada. And Alt is produced and developed by a company called Drager and Leaner in Germany. And I became involved in the project, about April or May last year through a contact, Hai Nguyen Lai from the NFB Research and Development Committee. I actually saw a tweet that Hai had written about how Alt was making his Windows activities more productive and easier to use. And I asked him about the program. And luckily, that was kind of just at the right time. And I was able to get involved with a project that the Research and Development Committee was doing, basically over the summer, testing Alt and giving suggestions, some of which have been integrated into a new version that's just been released. Both Rob as well as his colleagues from Germany have been closely involved with that. And during the spring and the beginning part of the summer, we would have conference calls and trainings, talking to people in Germany a lot and talking to Rob. And a lot of the trainings we do, like Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning over Skype with people from all over the country and from Germany, and with Rob on the calls as well. And again, Rob is joining us via Skype from Canada. So Rob, do you want to say hello to the group?
I would, and thank you, Mika, very much. And Amy, good afternoon, and thanks for the invitation to join in the meeting today. My name, as mentioned, is Rob Nevin. I'm principal of the Canadian company You Are Able, and we represent the products of the German company Drager and Leanert. The principal of that company, Hans-Jörg Leanert, or Hans, I met about 10 years ago when I was working for a venture company. And the introduction to him was by way of a company we were doing some work with in Florida. Hans was using their product at the time, and I asked for an introduction to a company that, two or three companies that use their product in a manner they describe as innovative. The introduction to Hans came. I loved what he was doing. I like what he does as a company, and particularly what he does just as a person in business. At that time, Hans had about 5% vision, and now he has about 2% vision, and his company is 22 years old, and they work exclusively in support of persons that are working that are blind, and have something in the order of 22 products. The one product that we're talking about here today is called Alt. Part of my approach into this business was to validate are the products valid for use in North America, and are there competitive products? Is this something new and interesting and the like? And the answers all the way through were, yes, this makes a lot of sense. Because I'm Canadian, our first introduction was to the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, the largest organization in Canada that represents the needs and training and support of persons with blindness and low vision. CNIB quickly acknowledged that what we are doing aligns with one of their missions, and that is to create more employment for persons that are blind. The statistics are the same worldwide, that the employment picture is just nowhere near what it should be. We entered into a project with them last July, where John Rafferty, the CEO and president, said, "We have a national call center, and for years we've employed low vision and sighted agents in that call center, but we've only just recently hired our first JAWS user and discovered that some of the products that they use were a no-fly zone for JAWS. Not a good situation." And they asked if we could help, and we did. And we deployed the product Alt and addressed some of the remedies that needed to be addressed. Some of them were easy, some of them were a bit greater of a challenge, but ultimately the solution that Alt brought was deployed to all seats in their call center. This is kind of interesting because not only did it mean that they had consistent training and consistent use of the product throughout their call center, what it really meant to them was that in that call center, every seat was exactly the same. And then as the seats became free, people leave call centers and new people join, the CNIB was in the unique position of being able to say, we can hire the best person for that job, irrespective of any site adjustments or adjustments related to their vision. Because they're a call center, call centers get all excited about keeping track of measurements, and that's part of how they define their success. And usually with call centers, they get all excited when they see 1% and 2% improvements. I should have anticipated, but I didn't, that CNIB would put in place some measures, and we found out this spring that they had, and they were their own measures, not in consultation with us at all. And they put in place measures to compare low vision and blindness against the skilled call center agent on the same team. And they measured the ability of handling calls by volume over a six-month period. The results were that within that six-month period, the low vision and blind call center agents first met and then exceeded the ability of the skilled sighted coworker to perform their duties, with a net result in a 35% increase in performance in their call center, wholly attributed to ALT. And the main reason for this was simply that ALT made them efficient. The time required for the agent to spend on the call with the caller was dramatically reduced, and the amount of time spent in what's described in call centers as wrap-up time, time that has to be for completion of work after the caller has hung up, was reduced dramatically. So for CNIB, that meant nearly the equivalent of two full-time employees in call volume handling. So, you know, that was a good thing, which ultimately resulted this year in a decision by CNIB to deploy this nationally. February of this year, we were approached by Hai Nguyen Le, as Mika suggested, the chair of NFB's Research and Development Committee, with the invitation to come and present. We were warned, not by the committee, but by other people that we know, that this committee can be a bit ruthless to people who are selling another type of cane or selling something that has been seen before, or if they had the idea that this is just another piece of software noise. The reception from that committee was quite the opposite, which resulted in a project by invitation involving eight members. Mika kind of tucked in at the last minute, for which we're grateful, and did a deep dive on the use of the product. And as Mika explained, we had some really great feedback and have responded with enhancements in the product well targeted. We're actively involved with many blindness-serving agencies globally. Royal New Zealand Foundation of Blind, Vision Australia, in the U.S. Veterans Administration, NIB, ACB, as of last Thursday, the Braille Institute, just getting an incredibly warm and active response as people recognize what all can do facing the challenges for individuals, whether they're blind, low vision, or otherwise. So there's one concept that I just want to illustrate first, and you'll see the relationship really quickly. And we call it beaming. So imagine if we had the ability of going from where we are now to the closest convenience store to pick up a paper or to pick up a package of gum. Wouldn't it be neat if we could just beam from here to there, bypassing all the journey steps, pick up the product that we need, and then beam our way back? Well, we can't do that, but with software technology, and ALT in particular, we can bring that type of functionality to the desktop. So this notion of beaming is what we're going to demonstrate. So, Mika, if it makes sense to you, why don't we start talking about text modules first?
To expand a little bit on what Rob was talking about, the ALT product has a number of components, and text modules being just one of them. And if you're trying to kind of get your head around kind of what the product is, as far as other products and kind of comparing it to something that's already out there, in some respects, it reminds me of JTools by TNT Consultancy. Although the issue with JTools has been that when you get a new version of JAWS out, they sometimes take a while to update the JTools scripts to work with that. And also, ALT has a number of other features that would expand what JTools can do, but some of the functionality is similar to JTools. The other difference with ALT, and really in terms of any type of assistive technology products, ALT is truly screen reader or AT vendor agnostic. So you could be a JAWS user, a WindowEyes user, using the system access or NVDA, and a lot of your commands will be the same and concepts, and so it's not specific to one screen reader. Text modules, and we'll get into this in a second with the laptop, basically allow you to take frequently used text that you write a lot and create a shortcut key that you would use to initiate the entry of that text, and then you can type in a few letters and have the computer automatically enter the text. And it can be done in any program, whether it be Outlook or Word or Notepad or into a form on a website, and even with some more complex jobs, you can do it actually inserting text into another ALT job as a parameter. So for example, I work in the IT department at Neighborhood Health Plan. Often we'll need to reset users' passwords, for example. So we'll need to send them an email with what their temporary password is and how to go about changing it. So I have a text module that types up all that text in there about what they need to do to reset their password. And then all I need to do is add the temporary password to the string of text, so I don't have to write it out each time. Also, we create users' accounts when they start at the company, and you used to have to kind of either create a template in Outlook or somehow manually type that out. So I now have alt text modules that I use. So I'll paste in, let's say, the person's username and then email address, and then I'll type, for instance, comma N1 space, and then that will bring up a whole series of text regarding their network password and URLs that they might want to go to. And then I'll paste in, let's say, the new telephone number that they've been assigned, and then comma N2, and that will give information like the temporary voicemail password, the number to access your voicemail off-site, and different things like that. So instead of having to type all that in, you can do it with this quick step. So there are two basic ways that you interact with Alt. The basic way, once you're using it and you're actually initiating most jobs, you double tap the Alt key and it brings up a screen where you actually invoke jobs or do things. And I'll quickly do that just to give you a sense of what that sounds like.
Alt dialog, input shortcut edit, font list letter, type and text.
A little sound came up and it said Alt, and I'm going to erase what's there. So it says input shortcut, and that's where you can type in what you want to do. There's another way that you interact with Alt, and this has to do more with if you're managing the program or managing jobs or creating jobs like text modules. And these keystrokes are quite customizable, but the default keystroke to kind of get into the management of Alt, if you will, is Alt period. So I'm going to do that now.
Alt dialog.
And you get a little sound. And then there are different tabs that come up that tell you the different types of jobs that you can do. Using control 1 through 5 or 6, I'm going to do that and kind of let you hear it.
Open files slash folders tabs.
So the first type of job is open files and folders.
Start programs page.
Then start programs.
Name header, open files slash folders tab, start programs tab, websites tab, text modules tab, macros tab, screen reader tab.
So those are the different types of jobs.
Start website text modules tab, key, left mouse button, list view, best.
So these are the text modules that we can invoke.
Open files slash key, special regards, BR1 of 20, PC cursor, your sincerely is 20 of 20. Trademark symbol TMS, TNB Nev, TNPD, registered trademark symbol RTMS. QNXT password reset request at Rosetto QNXT1.
So that's a work one.
QNXT password reset email QNXT2.
And the shortcut it's giving you is kind of toward the end. So it's that one is QNXT2.
Pound symbol GBP. NHP email signature SIG. NHP delep delep. Kind regards KR. Inverted question mark IG.
Shortcut keys.
PC name edit.
So this is where you name the job. And this is just kind of like a descriptive name. So if we named it, for instance, Vibug.
PC name edit Vibug. Text module dash shortcut edit type of text.
Vibug Amy meets on, what is it, the
second Saturday of the month.
So let's call it VBM.
Text module dash shortcut edit VBM. Synonym edit type of text. Text edit type of text.
So I've called it VBM, and then this is the text, and then I'll write. So this is what I wrote.
We invite you to join us for our monthly Vibug meeting held the second Saturday of each month. Visit link http://vibug.org for details.
And we called that VBM.
Created on colon read modified created modified okay button. List view Vibug VBM 20.
So now that's saved in my list of shortcuts, and now I'm going to enter Notepad, although it could just easily be a Gmail email or something else. I'm going to type comma VBM space. And it worked. So you heard that little sound. And then in Notepad.
We invite you to join us for our monthly Vibug meeting held the second Saturday of each month. http://vivek.org for details.
So you have to type in, you know, comma, VBM, or whatever the shortcut name is, and space, and then it will insert that text shortcut that you made, and it will make that little sound. And so you don't really have to hear it unless you want to review it. And a lot of times with Alt, it will reduce the amount of screen reader sound and information that you will have to hear. So we kind of think of it as reducing kind of the screen reader fatigue, or I don't know if Rob has a different name kind of for that.
Just exactly what we call it. Cleaner. Yeah. You were using the illustration of a shortcut. And a shortcut, whether it's a text module or as we advance further in the demonstration, that shortcut is intended to be how the individual thinks. So in the case of Mika, for the VBug meeting monthly, he used VBM, and that's exactly how he thinks about it. For someone else, it might be something longer. It might even be something short. If it was Amy sending out that message and she did that 20 times a day, she might just call it V, for example, in which case she would enter comma V space, and it would replace the same thing. Any of these jobs can easily be renamed in a moment from whatever they are now to whatever they should be. We follow the rule of it should be any of the accelerator shortcuts should be as short as possible for efficiency and as long as necessary to support how the individual remembers the task. But one thing to remember is whether it's a text module or any of the other accelerators, once it's created and described, they can be found again in any of a variety of ways. Probably the most powerful is by using a full text retrieval engine. So one of our clients, at the end of their emails, when it relates to somebody coming to their location for a meeting, they have a text module accelerator called comma DIR. So they use it by typing comma DIR space, and then it immediately provides almost three pages of directions, how to get here by bus, how to get here by rail, how to get here by air, et cetera, et cetera. And they just do it once, and it's perfect every time.
Another interesting thing is that the all jobs and shortcuts are all kept in a database, and you can also share the jobs. So I can send Rob a job, or he can send me one. For instance, one he recently sent me, which we can show when we get to web modules, is an Amazon search. And there's always different ways that you can build the jobs. What we've been doing with this project is just keeping all our database is in a Dropbox so that the file is stored locally, but it's also available if you're working with a group or collaborating with other people to be able to either access the database or just export a job and actually put that out in the Dropbox so anybody else can pick it up. The company is also working on kind of a jobs exchange so that if you had a job that will do a certain function, you could share it with other people. For instance, this summer we set up a web job that actually logs you into the NLS Bard site with a much shortened method than you might otherwise have to do it. So that would be an example of something that you could share, or commonly used websites or programs.
Although we've illustrated how an accelerator can expand to something much larger, just the opposite can occur as well. An example there is for using alt text modules to generate symbology. So if you wanted the trademark symbol, for example, you could simply do comma trademark or comma TM, and it would replace it with that symbol, or the cent symbol, or the copyright symbol, or the euro sign, whatever the case may be. The steps to do that conventionally, particularly for people who may not be familiar with how to do that in Word or other products, is complex, and with alt, it's simple.
Okay, so I'm back in that dialogue where you manage alt again, which you get to with alt period unless you change it. And website jobs are accessed either by accessing the tabs as you normally would or by pressing Control-3. So once you get used to these little shortcuts, you can move around that way. And again, this is just for building and managing jobs. So if you're just using this, you may not even have to go in here that often, but you guys are kind of a technical crowd. And the text modules where we were just at is Control-4. So you can see how quickly you can switch between those, and then you get a little sound and it tells you. So now we're in the...
Amazon search dash the right Amazon 16 of 16.
So now we're in the list of web jobs, if you will. So we have the Amazon search.
BMP colon NLS bar blog and NLS. Expert Flyer Flypo Flypo. Gmail Inbox GM. Google Search GS. Google Translate Auto to English State. Merriam-Webster Search MWS. Open Google Proof Doc. Open NFB Homepage On.
Now, these are just sample. It could be anything or things that you're interested in, but these are just some of the things you're hearing that are in there.
Open QNXT Customs Account Log in QNXT.
That's an NHP work one.
Open the Post ID Google Portal 5.
That's a work one.
Open Rosetta Linux TZG. Open U-R-Able Homepage Arrow. Like Pages Search WPS. Wikipedia Search WS.
So I'm going to close this management dialog with Alt period again.
SQL Backslash Windows Backslash
then...
Desktop Folder. PC cursor,
I'm back on my desktop, and sometimes you have to launch the browser before running one of these web accelerators, but I'm going to run the Amazon search one, so I'll press Alt-Alt, and then that one is AMZN, that's just what I named it, which is the Amazon stock symbol, but you could name it Amazon or shopping or whatever you wanted, and then I'm going to type in Nest Thermostat. So we'll look on Amazon for the Nest thermostat. So all I did, Alt-Alt, AMZN space Nest space thermostat, and then I'll press Enter.
Folder view list view Mozilla Firefox 10 of 19. To move the item, use the arrow key. Windows Internet Explorer, HTTP.
And now it's opening up the browser.
Page has no link.
And we'll give it a second to... I'm hitting Control to silence the speech. Besides that, as well in Alt, you can set up the screen reader to be silent until the job is done. I'm going to now scroll the speech down again. And then I know with Amazon that once it does the search, you can get to the results by heading. So I'm just going to do that with the H in JAWS.
Quote Nest showing one Nest Learning Thermostat dash first generation T100,576 Nest Learning Thermostat dash second generation.
So this is the new Nest Learning Thermostat. So it did the search, loaded up the Amazon page, and I'm going to hit enter on that, and then we'll give you a little bonus content of seeing one of the new features in JAWS 14 here when we open up
29%, 100%.
It's still loading.
Page has two frames.
And you heard that little sound? That's using a new feature in JAWS 14, Flexible Web, that's what it's called. And it allows you to access a web page and then have the cursor or the focus placed on the area where you most would normally want to read. It can do some other things too, but that's one main thing it does. So I set it for the Amazon website to move focus right to the description. So you don't have to either do a Control F and look for that or somehow otherwise navigate to the page. So if I just do a sale right here.
Heading level 2 product description, heading level 3 Amazon.com product description, traffic control your Nest from anywhere. Heading level 4 a thermostat for the smartphone generation. The next generation Nest has a new slimmer design, is enclosed by a solid stainless steel ring and works with 95% of low voltage systems. The Nest Learning Thermostat learns what temperature you like, turns itself down when you're away, and can be controlled from anywhere over Wi-Fi.
So by using a combination of Alt and screen reader features, we're much more quickly able to get to the information. I mean, normally I would have to load the Amazon site, get to the search box, type it in, you know, hit enter. And it doesn't seem like a lot of time, but if you really are doing a lot of transactions or searches or different things, it can kind of add up. And I've almost found I'm so used to kind of doing it that old way that this, you know, even for preparing for this demonstration, it made me realize how much faster some of these accelerators and shortcuts are.
Although you went back down to the desktop before running this, the accelerator that you ran there for Amazon could be invoked from anything. So you could be in the middle of a spreadsheet. You could be in the middle of an email. You could be in the middle of a Skype chat. It doesn't really matter. All you need to concern yourself with is where do I need to go next? So from any starting point to your final destination in a single step. You can also define within the accelerator what browser you want to use. So by default, it would use the default browser on your computer, which could be IE, could be Firefox, could be Webby, could be anything. Some sites behave better with different browsers. So you can say, if I'm going to Amazon, my default is Firefox, but for Amazon, I want it to use IE, and it would just do that automatically. And if IE was already loaded, it would use it. If not, it would load it. The other truth is, and that Amazon job we just did quickly from a conversation Mick and I had on Friday, was that we could complete the other steps that you were describing in JAWS X, whether it's JAWS 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and particularly with 14, to invoke the new features and to navigate within the destination page and read just you whatever it was you're interested in hearing. So that could all be incorporated into the single accelerator.
I'll also show the NLS Bard login shortcut, which came up. We had a session in the summer that was called
Bring and Brag.
Bring and Brag, yeah, B&B. And so people brought alt jobs that they had created that they thought might be useful to others. So this one,
menu bar, file, dynamic, easy, purposeful shortcut, enhanced, best thermostat.
When you hit double alt or alt alt, it brings up the last shortcut that you use. So let's say if we wanted to search for something else on Amazon, we could just erase the Nest thermostat there and the AMZN would still be there. But for this one, I'm going to type in NLS space my Bard email address and then my temporary Bard password that I set up. So I'm going to hit enter.
Which could also be a text module.
And this one has been configured to be silent, so we're not hearing a lot of junk from the screen reader as it's processing the login, which is kind of nice. And it, you can hear it clicking. That's Firefox.
Click reset your bar password here for support. Please email page at 16 headings at 11 links. Heading level 1 bar main page. Heading level 2 find books. Heading level 3 link recently added books. Dash a list of books added in the last 30 days. Blank. Heading level 3 link most popular books. Dash a list of the most popular.
So I just typed NLS and I gave two parameters, which was my email address, which is the user ID and the password. And it completely silently in the background through a feature Alt has where you can silence the screen reader as it's doing something, initiated the login and put me right on the page where you would search for books or otherwise magazines or otherwise modify your Bard account. I also made a job last night for doing flight time searches. One thing with that one, because it's a new job, I still need to log into the website first, so I'm just going to do that. And that could very well, the reason I have to log in first could also just be due to the cookie settings on this laptop. As Rob said, I actually just opened up Notepad, so I'll do the Alt shortcut from there, so I'll hit Alt Alt.
Menu bar, leaving menu bar, alt dialog, input shortcut edit.
So that particular shortcut is called FLIFO, F-L-I-F-O, and then space, and then you type in the two-letter airline abbreviation, so like U.S., space, and then the flight number.
87302. Input shortcut edit, FLIFO, 2037.
So FIFO, the alt job name, US for US Air, and 2037 for the flight number, and then enter. I set this one also to silently process it. Oh, and it also said, That's using a feature, sounds, that you can integrate in alt job. So I set that sound to play when it's done processing, you know, so I can definitely keep JAWS silent. But here's the information. And then I used a JAWS place marker to put us right in the place where we want to read to most expeditiously read this.
Comments colon 2037/13 P post slash out 156 PE004 P post slash out 207 P PDCA slash ETA 326 PE006 Schedule Org 200 PVTDB18SHIP 958 PCA.
So that's a site that's kind of oriented at travel agents, or it kind of gives you more specific and technical information about flights than, you know, if you just go to Expedia. But it gave you the time the plane left the gate, the time it took off, the gate number, and the ship number, which is just sort of like the serial number for the plane. But let me show you what you would normally have to do. You would start out at M. M.expertflyer.com.
Flight status alt plus.
Then you'd go to flight status.
Expert flyer registered. Virtual piece. Expert home. Search by flight alt plus ship plus 1 bit. Search by city peril.
So search by flight.
Expert flyer registered. Virtual piece.
See, we already would have had the results the other way. And then US flight. Tab 2037. And then I know you can press enter, but you might even have to tab to find the search button.
Expert Flyer Mobile Dash Mozilla Firefox. Expert Flyer.
And now we're back to where, you know, where comments, colon. The same information.
Comments, colon. The comments, colon.
And Micah, you created that without any programming. I mean, you didn't have to do any JavaScript. You didn't have to do any VB scripts.
Yeah, I started on it last night. And there's probably more, you know, you could tweak it, but that's, you know, just working on it last night because it's something.
Now, Micah, does it actually just record your keystrokes? Is that how you create one of these, that you just go through the process and it records the keystrokes?
That's one way, but normally you don't do it that way. Let me bring up this job, actually, in that alt management interface with the alt period.
Alt dialog, website page, list view.
You hit F2 is the shortcut to edit a job. And then you'll kind of be able to see kind of the under the hood parts of a job here, of a web job.
Job name, edit, expert flyer, flypo. Job info, left parent, optional, right parent, edit, type of text, alt plus I.
So if we were sharing this, that might tell what it does.
Website URL edit, https://www.expertflyer.com/mobile/flight status/flight number.2/text/alt+i.
So that's going to a specific URL within the site that takes you directly to search by flight number.
Use browser alias checkbox checked. The clear checkmark, press space. Browser alias combo box, Firefox.
And I said it seemed that Firefox at least initially worked better with this, so I chose a browser alias of Firefox, but I could have also used Internet Explorer or Chrome, or just as Rob said, the default browser.
Shortcut edit, FLIFO, type and text.
That's the FLIFO. That's the shortcut, but and FLIFO is like a travel industry kind of jargony technical name, so let me just
selected.
I could change it to just flight.
Shortcut edit flight. Hotkey none. The defined replace spaces inside shortcut parameter with colon edit type and text. Okay button, cast main tag.
So then this sort of creating or editing a web job has different tabs, so that's the main tab with kind of the core information.
Extra actions.
And then this is called extra actions.
Actions edit type and.
And so here are the actions.
Settings /Micah /My Documents /Dropbox /Alt Accelerator Project /Setup Files /YesVoice.wa/RightGrace.
Here's the beginning.
Left grace, EASP2000RightGrace.
It first starts with a pause when it opens that web page because it has to wait for the web page to load. And you can specify the length of the pause in milliseconds.
Do you just kind of guess how long to set the pause for?
This is a slow machine.
1,000 milliseconds is 1 second. And usually for a website, we would allow a couple seconds. Unless we knew for whatever reason, that could be the network speed, it could be the speed of the server, it could be greater. Even that amount by job can be a parameter that you specify, saying, you know, I'm in the time of day when things are slower, so pad that up by another couple seconds.
Zero.
So that
right
the
race.
First thing it does is pauses.
Left race, EASP=50, right race, left race.
This next thing adds a pause of 50 milliseconds between the steps.
Left race, ESC, right race, left race.
Then it presses the escape key.
EASP=3X.
Tabs 3 times, which is takes you to the part where you enter the 2-letter airline
right
code.
#1.
And then it says #1, which is your first variable.
But you have to set these up.
You can set them up manually by typing in this syntax that you're hearing, or you can set them up through a wizard.
Define actions, comment, edit, define actions button.
If we click define actions.
Edit website job dialog, all colon 2000, 1 of 12.
Here it's reading.
Pause before entering the following key, colon 50. Hotkey, colon escape. Hotkey, colon tab 3x.
So if you don't know the syntax for tabbing 3 times, you can...
New button to activate.
You can click on new.
Actions dialog, hotkey 1 of 8.
And then these are the different type of actions that you can do. So there's hotkey.
Free text.
Free text.
Pause.
Pause.
Sound.
Sound, which we have. Screen reader job. So that might be something like, say, current line or virtualize window.
Screen action.
Exactly. Yep.
Screen action.
A screen action would be move to a certain coordinate and hit the leftmost button.
Lucky.
So that might be used especially in kind of proprietary back office applications.
It was nearly accessible by keyboard, but in a couple key areas, the mouse was required. But all that was required was to target an area within a frame. And if you fired a left click within that frame anywhere, keyboard controls continued. Or maximize, minimize windows. There's a few such actions.
Lock key,
and then release key.
That's used. If you're going to do drag and select for an area on an Excel spreadsheet, for example.
So if you don't know the little syntax that used, you can look it up here and it will insert it for you into the little code that it uses, which is, and once you set it up using the long way, which is what we were just looking at, you get used to the way these codes are written out, and it does follow kind of a commonly used way of phrasing things that you can grasp. So you will use the long way of looking them up and entering them at first, but then as you're editing them more, then you would just fill it in manually a lot of times. If you're getting the program and just starting out, you wouldn't necessarily have to build your own jobs because there may be some that are available with it.
Another example on the website, Mika, is that more and more we're all seeing the use of dynamic content on websites. And the unfortunate truth for screen reader users is that for persons with vision, by the time the page is done building it, it looks the same. But for screen reader users, the page aren't necessarily loaded in sequential order. Instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're getting 1, 5, 2, 3, you know, whatever. And the whenever that occurs, then JAWS gets confused about where things are. The solution is to refresh the page, pressing F5. Sometimes that corrects it with JAWS. In other times, you have to reload the JAWS buffer. For sites that you know are dynamic sites, and curiously, some of them are facing blind supporting organizations, you can simply incorporate the F5 and incorporate the JAWS command to refresh the buffer as part of the action string. So when you land and Alt has beamed you to the final destination, it's ready to go.
I used to work in test automation. Is that sort of like what that is? A program where you automate your jobs?
For automating the job. So what we're doing is automating the journey. So Alt will sit on top of anything. What we've been looking at so far in the last examples is a web browser. But it could just as easily be a front office service like Word or Excel or Outlook. And yes, we can give specific examples of that, or back office products. And as soon as you get into the area of back office, you're really getting into a no-fly zone in a lot of cases for screen reader users. And we've got lots of examples where we've corrected the absence of accessibility without having to change any of the back office systems at all. We have a client in Cork, Ireland, inside sales rep, who, because of a corporate change, moved from an accessible product to Oracle On Demand, which is not an accessible product. For him, it introduced the question of the viability for him as an employee. Fortunately, the companies, you know, stood up, and the employee found us, and we corrected that for him this spring.
Another example, at my work, we use a call management system for IT requests called Heat Call Logging, which is produced by Front Range Solutions, and it's used in a lot of large organizations. And we're working with an Alt job that takes the call or the ticket number, which you really can't with JAWS select and copy to the clipboard. So we have a job that virtualizes the window, copies that specific line of text that has the ticket number into the clipboard, and one job can put it into the clipboard, or you could have another job that says copy the text of the ticket number of the call that I'm in and then put that in the subject of a new email. And you could even specify in the quick, you know, sort of command line like Alt shortcut Heat with email space Amy Rule, and it would open up and create an email to Amy with that ticket number in the subject, which ordinarily you would have to kind of write down or remember the ticket number and then go into Outlook and do Control N and type in Amy's name and then get over to subject and type in the ticket number. So that's right there. It's doing 3 or 4 steps at least that you had access to, but it would be much more cumbersome to do.
So I would assume that I could do the following. I'm thinking about a work example right now. I have to frequently access an Excel spreadsheet. I have to go into a specific website. I then have to go to the shared documents link on the website and activate that. Then I have to go to the staff link, and then I have to go to the schedule link. When I do that, I then have to press the read-only button, and then it opens Excel. Am I correct that I could do all of that with Alt?
Yes, you could set up a web job that would basically kind of, as you mentioned all those steps, it could find the first thing of, you know, schedule, find staff.
It could do all
find that. The read-only button and press space or enter on that, and then it would open the Excel spreadsheet. And then within the spreadsheet, you can also do lookups to quickly access information. Like, you could look up your name, for instance, and have it directly take you to, like, the date or time that you're working or whatever that spreadsheet tracks.
Okay.
So in following that example, too, you could have multiple accelerators that would take you to specific files, all following that same logging or login process, but different in that they point to different Excel files. That's one option. The second option is that you could have a single job that does all the protocol necessary to get you to the Excel file, and then specify the Excel file name when you run the accelerator. So that makes it a totally dynamic accelerator. And then once you get into the spreadsheet, as Mika said, there's other things that can be done, like take me to the first blank line, which is actually a pretty common one, or search that spreadsheet looking for a certain content. Or if you're working within the spreadsheet, you can say hide these columns, or based on the value of the cell that I'm in right now, show me all the other records in this column that contain that same value. You know, these are complex steps within Excel, but just simple little accelerators for Alt. And we expose those. You only know what you know. I mean, for all of us, you only know what you know. And if you can't easily find out the path to more knowledge, then you stay with the knowledge you have. With Alt and Excel in particular, there's some really key features for a screen reader user that are available, but typically not known.
Or they require extensive navigation through the ribbon and other interfaces that aren't the best for use with a screen reader.
Yeah, we ran into that with a gentleman in Cork, Ireland. He works for McAfee. You would know the company as the software security giant. Because he worked in sales, he was bombarded all the time with PowerPoint presentations. And in Outlook 2010, you lacked the ability of simply converting it to HTML and having a screen reader read from there. There's an easy fix for that. And B, active use of pivot tables, which can be a bit of a problem with a screen reader user, but there's also some solutions around that as well.
Back to your BARD example, I noticed you had your little abbreviation, and then you typed in your username and your password. Can you automate the whole login process so that it just brings you straight to the first page?
Yeah, so when we looked at the particular job, it had variables of, it said caret 1 and caret 2. So I could set the job up, and instead of calling it caret 1, I could put my email address, and instead of caret 2, I could put my password. And then as long as, you know, I was the only user of that job, then I would have just had to type NLS, and it would have filled those credentials in, because it would have had the credentials in the job instead of just the variables that would allow anybody to log in.
Or you could even go part way. You could have hard-coded in the actions and the accelerator, the user ID, and then simply use the password. Or even if the password, say, was 10 alphanumeric complex, and you just, you know, rack your brain trying to remember them from time to time, put hard code all of your password except for the last two characters. And then in the accelerator, just supply those last two characters as positional parameters.
I'm curious as to whether you have worked with anyone who is using Oracle, Java. I'm really thinking of things like reservation screens in the hotel industry, or the systems that access room number, patient name, arrival time, departure time, and that kind of information.
Those in particular don't come to mind, but I know that we have a client in Lufthansa Airlines. So the short answer by quick parallel would be yes, but I haven't seen it myself. But what I can tell you categorically is if this is work that can be done by keyboard now, or even by keyboard and mouse, I mean, we're not going to even suggest that Alt is going to convert a blind user into an AutoCAD designer. That just doesn't make sense. But if it's something that can be navigated by keyboard and mouse now, we can do it by acceleration.
How much does it cost
Great question. So it depends on the nature of the work. If we were doing a single deployment to an enterprise, Alt, and also depends where, Alt in Germany is around $5,000. Alt in North America is $3,000. We are currently discounting it to $2,500. But in the case where it's sold into an organization where there are multiple users, and often on a team, Alt is recognized as beneficial for the blind or low vision user, but also beneficial to sighted coworkers or even sighted support people, then the cost per seat starts to fall dramatically.
Do you have a consumer version?
We don't have a consumer version yet, but we're working in that direction. Everything that is embodied in Alt now, which includes the ability of sharing jobs across the network, the sharing jobs between people, things that would not be necessary in the consumer version are being pulled back, and we're putting in place a process for a consumer version. It's not simply as simple as saying, we'll sell a consumer version cheaper and off you go. There's also the questions around how is a consumer version supported. We now have an education version. So by education, you can think of any of the following and anything that fits the model. It could be a primary school teacher, could be a high school, could be a teacher in rehab. It's someone who has skills and provides training to a student. A student, again, could be a child, an adult, it could be someone in rehab, whatever the case may be. So what we do is we license the trainer or the teacher at $1,500, and we license the student for $100 a year.
So Alt is kind of moving in the direction of a subscription model, as many other software products are. Some of those prices, again, the $3,000 and the $5,000, again, are kind of more targeted at enterprises and large companies, and it sounds like even in Europe there may be even more funding for assistive technology than there is here that would support that type of pricing. And also that probably, Rob, includes consultation with Dennis and others in Germany on kind of specking out Alt for some of the specific jobs in the enterprise if they go with, you know, that those larger enterprise versions.
Can you reference another shortcut within a shortcut? Supposing you wanted to have a form done. You wanted you put in some stuff to open the document and get to the right place. But supposing you had another shortcut to paste something in, and you didn't want to rewrite that whole thing over again. So can you put a shortcut inside of a shortcut to reference?
For instance, some of the web shortcuts that we did, like let's say the Amazon one, you could have a text module with, let's say, a product name or a UPC code or the sort of identification number for an Amazon product. You could even call something like Blue Book. You could type comma Blue Book, and then you could convert that with the shortcut to like a UPC code or some type of identification number. So you could do the alt AMZN space comma Blue Book, and then it would paste in whatever that shortcut was and then run it. So you can combine the text modules with the other types of jobs, or same kind of thing. You can have jobs that will open different programs and folders or specific files.
Rob, do you want to give are you open to having people contact you? And if so, do you want to give contact information?
Oh, sure. Glad to open a dialogue with anyone on point. It's Rob, R-O-B, at u-r-able.com. So Rob at urable.com.
Thank you both very much.
All right.